We once again look to the book of Luke to follow our study of Peter as he is being taught of God, Christ the Lord, the things that he will need to know in the fulfilling of the position that the Lord has in store for him as the apostle of Christ. We last looked at the initiation of what is known as the Lord's Supper, Christ himself instituting this ordinance, knowing full well that he himself was about to fulfill the meaning of it. In Luke chapter 22, verses 17 and 18, we read this, "And he, our Lord Jesus, took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come.' And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.'" Don Fortner wrote this about verses 17 and 18. He said, what was our Lord referring to here? Perhaps he was simply saying, "I am about to leave this world and will never again eat and drink with you physically." As it said there in verse 18, "For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." Maybe it was that he was telling them he would never eat again with them physically. Perhaps he was talking about a new wine of grace that was about to be poured out upon him, by him, in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Fortner says, "I think he was most likely referring to the everlasting celebration of redemption, which is with us in eternal glory, when we shall eat and drink at his table forever, as he tells us." And if you would turn over to Luke 22, verse 30 for a moment and see what Don is talking about here. In the 30th verse, our Lord says that ye, God's people, God's chosen children, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now let's read verses 19 and 20 again, keeping this in mind. We sit at the king's table right now. "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.' Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.'" I can't help but thinking how our Lord brings us to the king's table, and he has brought us right now. Just as he brought each and every one of us under the hearing of his gospel, we sit in heavenly places right now. Isn't that what it says in Ephesians, verses 2, 4 through 6? Chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened, hath made alive us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit." Didn't say make us to sit at some time. Made us sit right now in heavenly places. Folks, we're as... I know this is hard to get wrap our minds around. I know. I struggle with it myself. But we're as white as snow right now. God's effectual blood was poured out for each and every one of his people. God Almighty the Father looked down and saw what his son would do, saw the blood of his son that he would shed, and from that moment on, God's people have been seen white as snow sitting at his table. Yes, we still fight the old nature that's in the flesh. Absolutely. There's not a single person here who can say they don't. But our Lord has conquered our sin for us. We have been reconciled We've been brought together with the King of Kings. That which separated us from the Almighty has been put away and is seen no more right now. God looks down upon you and I, and he sees the blood of his Son. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 9. What a picture we have in the Old Testament of this very thing. When I read that we would sit at the Lord's table, or that we sat at the Lord's table, I thought of this story, this picture that is given in this account of the king's table, and I thought about how it shows a picture of John. One who could not walk. One who had no ability within himself to come to the Lord's table, was brought, was fetched. And this is a picture of every one of God's children. Look at verse 1, if you would, of 2 Samuel chapter 9. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Robert Hawker wrote this about that first verse. He says, "It should seem by the expression, 'Is there yet any left of the house of Saul,' that he had before this not been showing," speaking of David, "not been showing kindness to his family, to the family of Saul. In fact, indeed, it would otherwise imply an attention in David instead of kindness. For many years have now passed since his ascension to the throne, and no doubt that he was not established in the kingdom for many years after the death of Saul, in the consequence of Ish-bosheth's pretensions to the kingdom. But after all, Israel had anointed David king at Jerusalem, and he had gone forth in the destruction of Israel's enemies, as related in the preceding chapter, chapter 8. Now David seems to be paying attention to the wants of Saul's house." Look at verse 2. "And there was the house of Saul's a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, 'Art thou Ziba?' And he said, 'Thy servant is he.' And the king said, 'Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?' And Ziba said unto the king, 'Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet.'" Oh, what it is to be shown the kindness of God. Not just to you and I, but that you and I might be able to show the kindness of God to others around us. God forgave me, even when I would not seek him. His love for me was just as strong then, even when I still hated him. Yet he fetched me when I could not walk. Verse 4, we read this, "And the king said unto him, 'Where is he?' And Ziba said unto the king, 'Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodbar.' Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodbar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, 'Mephibosheth?' And he answered, 'Behold, thy servant.' And David said unto him, 'Fear not.'" The kindness of God that we share with all of those that the Lord is pleased to bring between you and I is this very thing: fear not. For God hath chosen a people unto himself, and salvation is of the Lord. No, there's nothing you can do. No, you don't have to get up and work for your salvation. God has already done it. And if you're one of his chosen, if you're one of his people, the kindness of God will shine in your hearts eventually, one day or another, right? all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. Kindness to one who deserved to be killed, to one who deserved to be put away, the whole family. Yet for the sake of Jonathan, for the sake of our Lord Jesus, God the Father shows kindness unto his people. And it goes on to say, And will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Have you ever thought about that when we come to the Lord's table? We eat at the Lord's table continually. Not just now, but forever and ever and ever and ever. And he bowed in verse 8, it says, And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Is that not how we all who are saved by the grace of God look at the very thing? God has mercy upon this dead dog. Then the king, verse 9, called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and he said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Therefore, thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Notice that Mephibosheth had nothing to do but to sit at the table with God Almighty, with the king. There are those who will be sent to take care of the land for him. And it goes on in verse 10, And thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were the servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. As I read from a moment ago from Ephesians, our table is set. All things are ready. We sit in heavenly places right now. I know that we're still in this world, but we are no longer of it. Our treasure is beyond the blue. Our treasure is Christ Jesus, the Lord Himself. People talk about the wonders that are in heaven. I can tell you this, that no matter what heaven is, Christ in it is my treasure. As long as that's where Christ is, that's where heaven is. And we will sit at the king's table continually, eternally, not for our sakes, but for Christ's sake, just as David's kindness was for Jonathan's sake. Back to our text, and I'll bring today's lessons to a close. I want to ask you once again to look at verses 18 and 19. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The last part of verse 19, and I'm quoting from Don Fortner, has a great meaning. This do in remembrance of me. How many times have we read this command without pausing to consider its implications? The first implication of this command is that this ordinance is for believers only. In order to remember Christ, you must first know Him. And I pray that you do know the Savior. If you do, says Fortner, the Lord's table is spread for you. But if you do not know him, that you must not eat the bread thereof and drink the wine. Secondly, this command reveals the love of Christ for us. Our Savior would not care for us to remember him if he did not love us. I pause because I want that to sink in. The great love that God has for us, that he instituted an ordinance that you and I would be remembered, would be reminded of what he has done. Knowing all the time how stiff-necked and forgetful we are. Our Lord Jesus, as he was leaving this world, whispered into the ear of his bride, those that were at the table, he said, "Remember me." And the third command, the third that this command implies, is a horrible tendency in each and every one of us, and that is to forget our Redeemer. Because our Lord remembers that we are but dust, he graciously established this ordinance that we might, in observing it, remember him. End of quote. Is that not a deep subject to think about? How God, who loves us so much, that he would give his only begotten Son for our sakes, knowing that very thing, how easily it is for you and I to forget it. The love of God for his people, a people who hated him without a cause, a people who shook their fist at him at one time, saying, "We shall not have this one to rule over us," yet he loved us still, and nothing we can do shall separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In John 15:13, we read this: "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." But before he says that, he tells us this. Look at John chapter 15. Look over at the book of John chapter 15. And read with me, if you would, verse 8 through 12. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be fulfilled. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Stand with me, if you would, please.